Pledge of Allegiance this evening will be given by Assemblymember Daniel Blank. If you remain standing for the invocation by Don McConkey.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, guide the members of this assembly in the tasks set before them. Keep them mindful of the needs of the community members they represent. Give them all the spirit of fairness and foresight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. We have a couple of items, ceremonial items this evening. First one is a proclamation. Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. Whereas the American Cancer Fund for Children and Kids Cancer Connection report cancer is the leading cause of death by disease among U.S. children between infancy and age 15. This tragic disease is detected in more than 15,000 of our country's young people each and every year. Whereas one in five of our nation's children loses his or her battle with cancer. Many infants, children, and teens will suffer from long-term effects of comprehensive treatment, including secondary cancers. And whereas, founded over 20 years ago by Steve Firestein, a member of the philanthropic Max Factor family, the American Cancer Fund for Children Incorporated and Kids Cancer Connection Incorporated are dedicated to helping these children and their families. And whereas the American Cancer Fund for Children and Kids Cancer Connection provide a variety of vital patient psychosocial services to children undergoing cancer treatment at Providence, Alaska Medical Center in Anchorage, as well as participating hospitals throughout the country, thereby enhancing the quality of life of these children and their families. And whereas the American Cancer Fund for Children and Kids Cancer Connection also sponsored nationwide Courageous Kid Recognition Award ceremonies and hospital celebration in honor of a child's determination and bravery to fight the battle against childhood cancer. Now therefore, be it resolved that I, David L. Jack, Mayor of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, do hereby proclaim the month of September 2014 as Childhood Cancer Awareness Month and encourage all community members of Wrangell to support children and their families who are living with childhood cancer. Next item we have is Margaret Villarner. In appreciation of your hard work and dedication, the City and Borough of Wrangell thanks you for your service and 25 years of service. Margaret, would you come forward, please? Tim Gunas, in appreciation of your hard work and dedication, the City and Borough of Wrangell thanks you for your 25 years of service. Tim, would you come forward, please?
We expect cartwheels going back.
Always a gentleman. They raised him right.
Good. Roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Blake.
Here.
Wiederspin.
Here.
Rooney.
Here.
Decker.
Here.
McCloskey?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Item four, conflict of interest. Does anyone have any conflict of interest on any of your items? Item five, consent agenda.
Move to approve those agenda items listed under the consent agenda and those marked with the asterisk items 6A, 7A, 7B, 7C, 7D, and 7E.
Second.
Been moved in second. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Assemblymembers McCloskey?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Wiederspoon?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item eight, Borough Manager's report.
Provided a written report, and I think the only thing on there I will comment on is the transfer of Thomas Bay's SEPA update. That was effective on, SEPA took that over on August 16th. There is a lot of things we are assisting with to make that transaction as smooth as possible. There's a bunch of, still a bunch of accounting thing we have to finish up and get that down to them. There's some things with the transfer of the Eureka money, the insurance money. There's some things we're putting in place to, so when that happens in 2018, it will go seamlessly. But I think to this point, it's going smooth. I think the employees at TIE are on board and been very helpful in the process. So like I said, at this point, we've done all the bill paying and that kind of thing here, which has gone smooth and we haven't had a problem. And it was during our audit time, so year-end time, so that was, it was a busy time here, but it went fine. The staff took care of it, so pleased about that. I did provide, or I think Kim provided, we didn't have this in time, but there was a capital list here of projects going on. Cassiar Street, that project is moving along, and they finished the sewer line, and now they're putting in the water line, and they'll be doing storm drains, doing some of that. And then once all of the underground stuff is done, then they can start getting the road ready to pave. And so they're still on schedule to be done before the snow flies, and so hopefully that happens. Weber Street, a couple little problems, and WCA are working on those, minor things, we hope. And also during the big rainstorm, it handled the water like it was supposed to, so that was a good thing, unlike some of the other things around town. But so that's taken, a couple things have taken a lot of time for the public works, the cleanup, and some of the repairs needed because of the flooding that happened. So they've been working on those. They've also had to work with the state quite a bit on some of the things going on for Evergreen, getting that ready to go to bid and this fall, and then for construction next year. So actually, we're doing some test holes out there, and there is a sewer manhole here and one here, and normally the sewer line goes from one to the other in a straight line. When it was put in, it went this way to avoid some rocks. Well, they were drilling core holes and drilled through our sewer line, so we had to dig that up and fix it. So, but other than that, it's going all right. Some of these other projects all are moving along like they're supposed to, so I think that's good. We've had Amber at the Parks and Rec has had a bad week. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong up there. One of the things is the hot water tank that's 30 years old. It's about a $1,200 or 1,200 gallon hot water tank, and that is all the domestic hot water, showers and bathrooms and all that kind of stuff. That's rusted out. It's got a hold of, so we can't have a pool open, and there's without that. We've actually got a hold of Bill Goodale of Schmock, and he's looking at maybe a temporary fix, and he said that might get you 3 or 4 months. So he's looking at a fix. The other problem, the building was built around the tank. It won't fit out the door. So I think the retro is, they've done that similar to both the school and I think at the hospital. Same situation, so they basically do three smaller ones in a, you know, connect series thing. And we actually think there's some other things we can do while we're doing this to save some energy there. So we're looking at some things like that. And Bill is in the process of helping us find a permanent solution. And he's a mechanical contractor, and that's what he does. One of the things that may happen there is that my authorization, first of all, it's probably not going to be budgeted, and my authorization is kind of up to $10,000. If it's 10 to 25, then I've got to get three quotes and go through some other things. If it's over 25, it has to be a sealed bid. So we're in this kind of an emergency situation, and I don't know how the assembly feels, but if we can keep whatever he's doing under, kind of under, at least under the 25, I don't know if the assembly has any issue if we kind of sole source this to him. He's the only mechanical contractor in town.
I guess you can't retrofit that to an on-demand system.
Yeah, I don't think so. He's looking at what our options are, so we'll wait and hear back from him. They have another problem up there, I can't remember the name of it, but basically it's the unit that heats the pool water, the heat exchanger, and it has all these tubes in it that the water goes through. The water is actually heated from the school's boiler, but it goes through this, circulates around these tubes, which are the pool water. And these cylinders keep having problems, and we just have to keep, like, there, I can't remember, there's like 25 or 30 of these tubes. We've had to plug half of them. We've only had this thing for a couple years, and when we got it, because we had trouble with the one before, and they're not cheap, they're $8,000 or $9,000, and manufacturer, the guy we bought it from, we changed it, and he said the one that we got should work, because they use the same thing in salt water. Of course, we have a salt kind of pool, he said it shouldn't. He said it should last a long time. We've got ones that similar to that are in a salt environment. So they've got their engineer looking at what else could be going on there, because they just can't believe it's from this. So that's going on. Had a problem with the chlorine level in the pool. That went to three times what it should be. So they can't use the pool. If you jumped in there now, it'd probably peel the skin off you. Then they were refinishing the floors and had someone that had done it before but was still inexperienced, had some problems with that, some big pooling issues, both dry, and we talked to a floor finisher now, and so we might have to actually do part of it ourselves and then bring in him in there to finish it. So everything that could go wrong up there has gone wrong, So we're working on all those things, and some of the floor finisher, that actually sounds like it wouldn't be that bad a price, probably to get him here and stuff, probably $2,000 or $3,000 to do that. We're working on some of those things. So if someone says, well, why is the pool not open or this or that, you'll know, and hopefully the public will know. One last thing, the financial statements or the year-end statements have been audited. The city actually came out pretty good, better than we thought. So I think we talked before during the budget about one of the items that the assembly wanted to address was the lobbyist. Mm-hmm. So I will be hopefully at the next, and I guess whether we want to go out for an RFP, is that the, okay. We will just do that. We kind of have a price range that you'd set. I think the money's there. We'll roll over from last year. There'll be enough money to do that. So we'll start on that. And lastly, I'm probably going to be off the next 3 days. But if someone needs me, get ahold of Kim or somebody, I'll be glad to respond to anybody that needs it, so. I think that's about it, unless someone has questions.
Any questions? No clerk's file.
Nothing really other than what's in my report. Please remember Southeast Conference is coming to Wrangell. Yay! September 16th through the 18th, I already have Assemblymember Jimmy Decker and Mayor Jack attending. And Assemblymember Becky Rooney said she'd like to attend as well, so we're gonna chat about that tomorrow. If there's anybody else who just saw a dog run by, that's interested in attending.
Ironic.
You're going to go ahead and notice that as a court possible.
I already have the notice ready.
What days does it start on?
It's
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
So it's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Well, I can make part of them, don't you? I can make Tuesdays and Thursdays.
So would you like me to go ahead and register you?
Tuesday and Thursday. Yeah, I can't. Wednesday's pretty tough.
How about for you, Max?
I have to look at my schedule.
Okay,
so
just let me know, and Assemblymember Blake and I have chatted a little bit and turned up papers.
It might be when I don't be here, but I'm
not
sure.
I'll let you know.
Okay, sounds great.
How soon do you need to know?
Just as soon as you know. That way I can get it filled out and the check sent off.
Okay.
However, if you decide at the last minute that you want to go, you just let me know and I can have a check cut and we can actually present that at the conference.
And just for folks that may have not gone before, they, every year, the Wednesday, that middle meeting in the evening, they have a banquet. And, you know, there's a fundraiser that's for scholarships for kids in Southeast Alaska, and it's just a good, you know, good meal and a good time to talk with folks. So even if you don't come to the conference, you can come to the banquet, you know, vice versa, so.
Either way, just let me know. And the
Stikine's
going to be writing the food for the banquet, so.
What night is the banquet?
Wednesday.
Oh, I can do that one.
Starts at 7.
And then also I gave you all a copy of the updated as of today. So I do have one person interested in the school board, and then I heard that another member of the school board turned in her resignation. And so that will be an appointment by the school board. So that's how that works. So that would be two vacancies. So anyhow, as they're updated, I'll send you the updates through email. And other than that, is there any questions?
Thank you. Item 10, Mayor Assembly reports and appointments. Any Assembly member have anything to report?
I have a report. As everybody knows or should know, the mayor and I went to the AML conference in Nome about a week and a half ago. The 2 days that I was up there, the discussions pretty much centered around trying to figure out what AML's priorities for the legislature are going to be in 2015. We had tossed around a bunch of different ideas and pretty much settled on three, possibly four, that we want our legislatures to take to Washington, D.C. and push for us across the state. The first one is going to be PILP payments to keep them coming in. The second one is Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act, or the timber receipts. And the fourth one is federal revenue sharing from Alaska oil and gas development. The fourth one that we had talked about that I really think should be the first priority is finding cheap energy sources for all the residents across the state. One of those issues is the natural gas pipeline that they've kicked around for several years, making sure that if that ever goes through, that the same mistakes aren't made with that was made with the oil pipeline. In other words, allowing Alaskans first access to the energy coming down that pipeline and then selling the rest of it to the companies instead of the way it's done now.
Okay. I'd just like to add a couple items on there. There were a couple of candidates there for state offices that were there. And one of the big issues that were brought before were transportation. And they discussed the railroads, highways, and airports. No mention was ever made by of the ferry system. Mm-hmm. However, there were Mark Begich was there, and the Federal Transportation Secretary was there, and the Commandant of the Coast Guard. They did mention the ferry system. Now that seems kind of backwards to me, that our own state officials don't recognize that that is our transportation system here in Southeast Alaska, and yet the federal officials do. So I just thought I'd throw that out there for your information.
Yeah, the one time that they did mention it, it was just a real quick, yeah, we know about AML and so on and so forth, and then they moved on.
And does anybody have anything else? Okay. Item 10A. 10B. Appointment to fill the vacancy in the Thomas Bay Power Commission. This is for an unexpired term until October 2016. And we have received one letter of interest from Bob Maxan. Barring any problems with any assembly members, I'll appoint Bob Maxan to that Thomas Bay Power Commission.